Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah. Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And we are privileged to have the mighty, mighty CEO of Never Had It So Good, Princess Cooper, on with us today. We're going to talk a little sports because sports is her forte. And so, Miss Princess, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm really trying way too hard to multitask, and that's not a good thing. But
we are natural multitaskers, G. We are natural, but that means if you're trying hard, that means you got extra stuff piled on your natural ability, in which I know
you. Well, it's a matter of discerning what the natural abilities are, you know, so that, and then just saying, okay, this is what that's supposed to look like, but it's not supposed to look like this. So, but anyway, now, I don't really do much basketball watching. I do some. I'm more of a football girl, but I follow a little bit of the March Madness stuff, and I understand there's some disappointed people because all of the brackets have pretty much been busted, right?
Oh, well, there's no perfect bracket left over, I don't know, it was like 98 million brackets filled out or something like that, but they had a ticker to show how many was left. So when we woke up on, I think it was Saturday morning, there were 23 perfect brackets left, and by the time Saturday afternoon came, there were none left. And that's going to happen in a season. Basketball is one of those sports where you don't have to have just, you know, raw talent at every position. You get a team that can shoot the ball and they play together as a team. You know, they can beat any other team at any given time. And that's what's happened in the midst of a pandemic where none had a preseason and there have been stops and starts throughout the season. And now you get to the tournament where they have it virtually in a bubble, you know, as much as they can, you have upsets. But I don't know how well the rankings were in the first place, but a 15 has beat a 2, you know, a 13 has beat a 4, and this is what you have. You have some of these upsets, you know, but it has been interesting. And the tournament this time started on a Friday instead of a Thursday, so they went Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday, Monday, and now we are down to the Sweet 16, which will come back this weekend and play, and then we'll have a Final Four. Okay, you probably have your phone on mute.
Yeah, anyway, my thing is, I was trying to avoid some of the outside noise. But anyway,
okay.
My thing is that this is going to sound trivial. This is going to sound, I guess superfluous or whatever. But I'm just upset about my Young and Restless being, you know, knocked out. It's like, why do they have to do that every time? That's my
issue. It kicks your young and the Restless out for a couple of days. And
it's been more than a couple of days, man. So, but hey, you know. And
you, but you,
well,
have
you,
then you can
Friday,
say
Friday. That's the thing, you know.
Yeah, you know, Fridays is usually the day that there's movement in the story from the week on Young and the Restless and All My Children and all the rest of them, and then it gives you something to ponder the entire weekend. So, yeah, you know, March Madness is taking that away. You know, I used to be like that about certain, gosh, I don't know, what do you call those shows now? I used to be, you know, crazy about that, but once I got to college, I found myself trying to schedule my classes around those stories in the middle of the day, so I had to leave it alone. And I hadn't picked them back up. I hadn't picked them back up at all. I'm just a sports junkie, fortunately. So.
Well, that's like, I scheduled that because it's lunchtime. So I just like, you know, that's just automatic lunchtime for
yep.
me. I set it, you know, and, you know, everything, you know, unless I have something that I really, really have to do, that's my lunchtime. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, I'm also at the point, too, where they go slow enough sometimes where it doesn't take much to catch up. It depends on, I guess, what storyline you're following and stuff like that. But it's not a big deal. But now let me
mm-hmm.
ask you this. They set these brackets up. Is it for the purpose for the schools and the teams, or is it for the gamblers?
Well, now, I think gambling is the residual of this, but it's not for the gamblers. And really, the brackets are set up, 64 teams are in the tournament, and they really rank the teams 1 through 64. So the first four gets the number one seeds, and then the next four gets the number two seeds, and the next four gets the number three seeds. But they rank the teams 1 through 64. And that's done by a committee of university presidents, coaches, whatever. So they do the rankings at the end of the season. And those that committee, you know, is challenged to watching games throughout the year, and then, of course, watching all of the conference championships at the end of the year, and then determining where the rankings are 1 through 64. So because of that, really that has nothing to do with Vegas and betting. Vegas then decide, well, Florida is going to play Oral Roberts University. Florida should win by 3 points. So Vegas actually sets the betting line, and then the bettors have a field day. So the young man, E.J. Lido, who played for Ohio State, they were a number two seed against Oral Roberts, was the number 15 seed. Oral Roberts beat them. E.J. Lido was then texted by all of his fans and said they can't believe that he messed up the game so bad. You better watch your back. As a matter of fact, we're going to hurt you,
no.
All of that kind of stuff. As a matter of fact, we're coming for you, you in. It was really so. Ohio State has actually gotten the police involved. That is crossing the line. But that's what
that
you get when you
line.
Have bettors who are betting on young men to do something for them so they can win $20,000. That's crossing
the
line.
That's someone that really doesn't have their priorities straight.
There you go.
I mean, seriously, doesn't have priorities straight and really doesn't have God in their life.
So this young man's screen print, because they obviously got his phone number from somewhere. They screen print all the text messages this gentleman sent him and how he was threatening him, and the FBI has now gotten involved. These are young men.
Good.
You know, and sometimes I want to say these are kids. But this is a game, isn't it? And that's what some of the coaches have said. This is a game. And at the end of the day, you know, we're still in the middle of a pandemic, and we're playing
right.
a game for a college that's taking it too far. But they threatened the young man. They said he had a bad game. They threatened him.
Okay.
Exactly.
Right.
We could go way out there with that one. And to whomever that is, shame on you. As an adult,
yes.
Shame on you for even thinking it, and shame on you for then even acting upon it and executing it. Shame on you, whoever
it's
that
shame
is.
Shame on you. And shame on you for getting yourself into such a desperate position that you would gamble and, you know, so much and invest so much in a game.
There you go.
I mean, mm-hmm. you know, where is your head at? And
there
your
you
heart.
Go. Mm-hmm. And truly, if you think about it, this young man will remember his experience at March Madness, you know, in Indianapolis for the rest of his life in a negative point of view. You know, he had a bad game. As a matter of fact, he has suffered from back injuries the entire season, and he really shouldn't have been playing. And, I can't even say he had a bad game. He made maybe one mistake. And don't we all, in the middle of games that I've competed in, I've never had a perfect game. So for that to be it is outrageous. Outrageous for sure. Yeah.
I need to bring I want to bring up something. It's not, unfortunately, maybe widely relevant, but
mm-hmm.
I need to bring it up because there's something that's going on nearby in my neighborhood. Okay.
Okay.
So there's a piece of land that it's been vacant for a long time, and they put up a Family Dollar next to it, but it was still vacant. So now they're putting it up, and they've kind of like, you know how a lot of places eventually will put up a sign in terms of what they're doing when they're doing
mm-hmm.
construction? They have not done that yet, but apparently it's been discovered that whoever has purchased and owns this land now is, and I live in a ethnically diverse community, I'll just say that, but they
mm-hmm.
put up they're supposedly or possibly putting up a liquor store, a laundromat, and a fast food restaurant. I don't know. I don't see how all that's going on at that lot, first of all, because it doesn't look that big. But the
mm-hmm.
thing is that, again, they're putting up, I mean, somebody even commented because there's an app next door that some of us have been, talking on it about. And someone said, oh, they forgot to put up the pawn shop. Okay. I mean, being sarcastic. It is just, to me, it's just beyond aggravating that you would not find these types of businesses in more affluent neighborhoods and in less ethnically diverse neighborhoods.
That
and
is correct.
Like, well, we can have a meeting about it. It's like, well, shoot, the bricks, the cinder blocks are out there. The land's been cleared. Why are we talking about this now? You know, we do need to talk about it, but it's the people that live nearby should have had input beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I commented. I said, why not have put in something like a community health center, maybe a business incubator center, maybe even a community garden or a farmer's market or something that has a little bit more benefit to the people around it than what those proposed businesses are. Now, like I said, it's been kind of hush-hush, so no one, I guess, really knows for sure. But I just had to put that out there because I'm just annoyed, to say the least, because it's not – there's a Walmart, neighborhood Walmart down the street that has a liquor store, okay? And a lot of these other businesses that could possibly go in there, they take advantage of the people nearby in a very negative way.
You know, I have a lot of thoughts on that because we've faced that around my church here in Columbia, South Carolina, which is in an African-American neighborhood. And you can see some of these liquor stores trying to pop up here and there. But we have had excellent representation in our city council And they've allowed us to know, hey, this petition, not petition, but this has been submitted to the county or to the city, and this is what they're proposing to put over here. This is what they're trying to do in this plaza over here. And we've been able to fight it. And so far, we've been able to keep out three additional liquor stores or the 7-Elevens / gas stations that want to sell, you know, also have a liquor license. So I think even in Orlando, my home state of Florida, that this starts with who is your city councilman or county councilman, because it had to have come across their desk. If they're at the point where they have picked a plaza, it's in your neighborhood, and that they now know what different entities are coming into there, it went across somebody's desk. And it goes across your city council and your county council. So you have at least that particular avenue where you can go back and ask, why were we not given more information? And you are correct. They don't put these in certain suburban areas. They come to where they think they're going to have their highest dollar or their less less opposition. That's where they come. And so but that is only going to bring another element to your neighborhood, and that's what you have to fight. You love how your neighborhood is and where it is. You don't want to add another additional element of crime, because people hang around those areas. You know, some people who come there, and I'm not saying that everybody that purchases or buys or consumes alcohol is dangerous. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that it's a known fact that that additional element brings that particular type of person, and you don't want that coming in and out of your neighborhood, and it's okay to voice that. It's okay to voice that, but it had to have gotten to some certain point there in Orlando to come across somebody's desk, and they didn't let the neighborhood know.
I've gotten with this other thing that I got going on, I'm not able to be as involved as mm-hmm. I'd like to be, and I have to make some decisions about that at some point, or mm-hmm. get some other people involved, because, you know, I mean, one person can't do everything, but one person can do something, and that's one of the reasons why, as we were talking, I know we were talking about basketball, but I'm like, I have this platform. I need to throw this out there. I need to at least do my little bit. So I had to throw this out there. And by the way, for the people that are listening that don't know what I'm talking about, it's at the corner of Powers Drive and Clear Kona Okoye Road. I'm just going to put that out there, Powers Drive and Clear Kona Okoye Road in Orlando. So, you know, if you are concerned about what's going on in your neighborhood and how it affects you or serves you or whatever, and let me get this, let me talk about the whole thing. I know there's probably some people that are saying, well, what's wrong with a laundromat? Okay. My parents, when, you know, we couldn't afford any better or whatever, went to the laundromat. But now this is the thing. Laundromats rip off people who think they can't afford washers and dryers. You know, I mean, they basically do. I mean, they you know, quarter after quarter after quarter, it used to be dimes when I was little, but now it's just quarters. and, you know, and it's a matter of at one point, when is it balanced out, or when is it more beneficial to just go and get a relatively inexpensive washer and dryer if you have the connections in your home. If you're like in a most apartment complexes have their own washer and dryer laundromats within the complex. So my thing is that I just feel like with laundromats, you know, we already have some nearby, but laundromats to me, if they're not managed properly or you don't, you know, call attention to how they're managed, they can be a ripoff. You know, sometimes the machines are raggedy. Sometimes machines tear up your clothes, You know, if like I said, if it's managed properly and it serves the community, that's one thing. But if it continues to be a ripoff for people that could probably do better with their own washers and dryers, then I'm more inclined to say, you know, maybe we don't need it. But that's a discussion. The other stuff in terms of liquor, no one needs liquor. Sorry, no one needs liquor. They want liquor really, 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 really bad, but no one needs liquor. Okay, that's just
that
my
is
opinion.
Correct.
Yeah,
no one needs it. You know, and it seems like those that do think they need it don't know how to consume in moderation. But no one needs liquor at all.
Yeah,
but it seems to be in demand, and people know where these stores are, and they seek them. They seek them out. Then they hang around them. Mm-hmm. You know. But
right.
That's a whole nother show for sure. But I understand where you're coming from. I would definitely, you know, during my spare time, and I don't see where you have any. I'd never have any, but we
you don't have any.
but we do need to investigate and see how it got to that point.
I did try to I have tried to place calls, do some emails and stuff like that. I even tried to track down the owner of the lot, and I tried to make a phone call. I'm not sure if I got the right person, but they tried to act like they didn't know what I was talking about. So, anyway.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I had to throw that out there.
It's okay.
Yeah. The other thing I did want to touch on, and I'm hoping to maybe get somebody on the show about it tomorrow. I'm not sure. But tomorrow was supposed to be Equal Pay Day. This is supposedly, in general, the day, I guess, where women's pay catches up with men's pay, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But now, when I looked further into it, and I kind of scanned it, didn't really read it that well, actually the different ethnicities arrive at this at different points in time. And when I looked at it, Asian American women already had their equal pay day earlier this month. African American women won't get their equal pay day until August. Native Americans won't get their equal pay day until September, and Hispanic American women won't get their equal pay day until October. So, you know, so that what does that say? Does that mean that the wages are skewed? What are the factors that, you know, determine when these particular equal pay days are, and why, first of all and foremost, why are we still having to have this discussion? Your thoughts, Princess?
Oops, I had mine on mute. There you go.
Oh.
Because I was just talking away. but, you know, I remember President Obama championed equal pay for women versus men. You know, I remember that championing. And we're not, you know, but we're talking about as far as cultures are concerned, the equal pay. But if there's been a disparity, and it's going to continue to be a disparity unless we seriously address this. Nobody's really seriously addressing this, and it's gotten worse since the pandemic. As a matter of fact, I don't know if I remember exactly, but white males versus black females, men made I think white males are making 90 cents more to the dollar than a black female. How about that?
It's just, the thing about it is, it is really up to us. It's up to women. It's up to women to say what they will and will not accept.
Mm-hmm.
it's up to us to make certain sacrifices. It's up to us to own businesses and hire and pay women what they're worth. And so, I mean, that's kind of has to be it, because as long as the men are in charge, they may not really be seeing a problem with this.
Of course, across the board, I agree with you. But to my sisters out there, claim your truth and your power. African-American women voting is the reason that we now have a Democratic president and two Democratic senators in Georgia. Women, claim your power. If we can change around the voting registration in several red states and turn them blue and take away the president from a Republican into a Democrat. And I really don't want to get caught up in parties, because I'm just talking about ideology and for having someone in office that has a moral compass at this point. We're going to set the bar really low, because that's what Trump did. But I want to shout out to we as African-American women who came out to vote, came out to register, ran for more political offices, and were successful. If we can change the political climate for 4 years, we can definitely discuss and continue to bring it to fruition that there's an inequality when it comes to your pay versus that of white males. Your pay versus that of white women. Your pay, you're actually, you know, the only thing you're higher than is Hispanic women. You're not even equal to Asian women. Doesn't that say a lot?
So much. But, yeah, we've got to address it. I mean, I remember a job that I took in Ohio for a couple of years, and I took it because I was busting my butt working overtime, and I still was like, my salary was in the teens, I think, and it was just like, I was a member at the time of NABJ, National Association of Black Journalists. I would go to the conventions every year, and I remember this particular convention going, and I was just really, at that point, it was kind of done. I had made up my mind. I was, this was in the middle of the summer or whatever, and I had made up my mind that I was saving up all of my vacation, the rest of my vacation and my sick time, and at the end of the year, I was going to take it all, and then I was just going to be gone, and I was just done. And I went into the job fair that NABJ had. I have to give kudos to NABJ for my success with this. I went to the job fair, and I actually just kind of was in a daze and just looked around, and, you know, I had my, you know, resume or whatever. But I really just had given up. And I remember seeing this lady, and she was smiling at me. And I was like, okay. She's like, hi, how you doing? You know, and I'm like, yeah, fine, whatever, you know. And she's like, well, you know, what do you do? And I told her, and what are you looking for? I'm like, well, you know, this. And she's like, there's this guy around the corner, and this is his name, and this is who he works for. You know, because to me, those job fairs are also kind of like a meat market of sorts. Mm-hmm. You know, they're packed in, and everybody's clamoring for the same few jobs. So she pointed him out to me, and so I went over, and I stood at the table, and there was a line at the table, and I almost started to walk out, and he said, you know, just one moment, I'll be with you. And so when it was my turn, I sat down with him, and we talked, and we got on very, very well, and, there were other people standing, so I felt uncomfortable staying at the table. And I was like, well, you know, he's like, don't worry about it. And we talked, and I finally did leave. But he asked me to send him a demo tape. I was an associate producer at the time, and it was for a producer's job. And anyway, to make a long story short, because I could talk about some other things with this, but within 6 weeks, I had a job in Ohio, thanks to this guy, his name is Mark Casey. He was news director, by the way. And a lady that helped me get my stuff together, her name was Barbara Callahan, God rest her soul. But she, you know, helped me get my tape together. She called him and talked with him. You know, she helped pave the way. This was not, and this was a white woman, an affluent white woman. So, you know, but so, you know, I have to give kudos to both of them. But, you know, it's one of the reasons I'm talking about this, because one of the producers at the station where I went was a white gentleman, and I was the second black producer they had hired, and most of the producers there were women. And, you know, of course, a couple of us minority women. And he got upset one day. We had a frank talk, and he's like, I'm not upset with you. He said, I need you to know that. He said, but I'm upset because they hire all of you, and they won't pay you, you know, and then I have to go to battle for my salary because they're hiring, you know, you all, and they're not paying you all enough, you know. And so he saw it. And the thing about it is it was affecting him because he had to scratch and claw to keep his job at the salary he wanted to maintain, because they decided they were going to hire women because it costs less to hire women producers. So we've got to have that we've got to take that battle into our own hands, you know.
Mm-hmm. I agree. The national standard in the industry pay scale says, okay, you can hire a woman here, and I think I gave out some facts, but women make 81 cents to the dollar that men make, of course, 98 cents to the dollar. That's almost a 20 cents disparity, and I really don't understand that. But at some point, we've got to address it and continue to make a difference in that realm. We've got to do better with that. I have to get to another meeting.
I know you gotta go. And that's the show, y'all. You know, we never have enough time. Oh, goodness gracious. Later this week, we're going to have Fleet Farming, and we're going to have Faith Friday. So make sure you tune in with us. We're also going to talk about a little decluttering for spring. So make sure you join us. Thank you, Princess. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and the same
thank
for
you.
Everyone else. This has been G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
He'll make it all right.